What is up? This is Speak Up, Speak Out. How are you guys doing? I go by the name of Mariah Shields. I am so excited about my guests that are in. Hello, welcome, Pastor Chris Shields. How you doing?
Doing good.
Welcome, Dr. R.C. Shields. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. So, today's segment has to do with leadership, so let's jump right in. So, what is leadership to you, Dr. R.C. Shields?
Leadership is leading by example, but why are you leading by example? You're serving, because a true leader serves, and he empowers his people to greatness. So you got to lead by example.
Okay, what about you, Pastor Chris?
True leadership is leading yourself. I mean, you only can lead others to the degree that you honestly lead yourself. And I think that that's an area that most leaders lack. They don't discipline themselves, but they expect discipline from others. True discipline starts with you, and it gives you the authority to empower others to follow you. And that's the problem that, you know, we have to consider, because if you don't have that in your life, then how can you expect somebody else to have it? We need people that are transparent and honest. So don't expect somebody to be something that you're not.
Right. I agree with that. So can you demonstrate a time in your life, Dr. R.C. Shields, that you felt that you demonstrated leadership, be it when you were younger, be it during a sermon, be it during any time of your life?
So every day of my life, I have to be a leader. Having a family, it's not do as I do, but do, you know, it's do what I do, not do as I say, right? Right. So you have to live, you have to be an example every day. Every day you get up, you're a leader. It's built in us to lead. But one of the greatest things to lead is to lead like Pastor Chris said. You got to lead yourself first before you can lead others. So you got to make sure your character is developed. God can get you there, but it's your character that keeps you there.
Right. I like that. What about you?
Well, I think, you know, keeping it simple, because I think that's another area that we oftentimes don't focus on. We come with these complexities of leadership, and we wonder why people don't want to be a leader and they're afraid to be. So I think we have to keep it simple. And something that I always like to teach when I'm teaching on leadership specifically is an acronym for LEAD. And it's love, earnestly allowing direction. Because if you can't take direction, you don't deserve to lead. Because we're all taking direction from someone. Now, for me as a role, as a pastor, but even just as a Christian in general, I take direction from the Holy Spirit. So it is my job every day to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want today? Holy Spirit, what should I do today? Am I perfect at that? No, but that is part of leadership, being honest to the reality that I am not an alien born on Mars. I am a human being that has practical life and spiritual life. And it is my job every day to wake up and try to do my best to marriage the two, not keep them separated. So I think that, you know, we have to wake up with the first thing on our mind, love. What does love look like today? Okay, how do I bring earnestly attentionality to my love and allow direction for it to be applied, not just to my life, but to inspire others to want to follow that example?
Right. With that being said, has there been any time in your workplace, being also like a manager or something like that, that you felt that you had to maybe be that type of leader where you're not maybe liked in a way?
Yeah. A lot of people don't like change, right? So as a leader, a manager, or anybody, so when you have to cause changes, a lot of people don't like it until they see the result of the change. So I mean, so you gotta always see as a leader, not being like, if you move it inch by inch, not all at one time, people adjust to the change. You know, I mean, they might not like it in the beginning, but if you move inch by inch, then they'll adjust to the change. So they don't even know they're changing until the change begin to happen.
Right.
And that's what a true. You know, so that's once a couple times where, you know, I did it the wrong way. That means it's like, okay, we're going to change this. Didn't get nobody else's opinion, because you got to make them be included to the change.
Right.
And a lot of leaders, they just make changes without including everybody, the whole team, to make the change.
Right.
And then if you do it right, it's inch by inch.
Right. Okay. What about you, Pastor Chris? Have you ever had a moment where you had to maybe be disliked by anybody because they didn't like maybe the way that you had to put change into things?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's part of the leadership role. But I think a way that you can, you know, cover your bases in that is by, one, leading with leadership, not as a position, but as a relationship. Mm. When you earn relationship in someone's life, you are allowing your voice to actually matter in their life. Right. See, and oftentimes we have leaders that have made it to a position, but not made it to a relationship. Mm. You know, but you also have to have the balance of the fact of, okay, yes, we want relationship, but there also has to be an understanding of my position. So there has to be reverence on both ends. So with that, you know, I think a part of it also, because we don't lead with relationship, we lead with position, we don't perfectly administer what discipline really is.
Right.
Because the purest form of discipline is love. So again, it goes all back to love. So if we're actually understanding what discipline is and we're treating it in the right way, I'm not coming to punish you when I discipline you.
Right.
I'm actually coming in relationship to advance you. Right. You know, and I think that that's part of the reason why in leadership, you know, we have to make tough calls. Do we cross the river or do we walk around the river? Well, if we walk around the river, we might get caught by the army. But if we believe and we have love in our heart, if we walk through the water, maybe a miracle might happen. So it's just like that aspect of discipline, understanding relationship, and do you truly care about the people that you lead? Because when they know that you care, they care about what you're saying. And they will listen to what you are saying and they will apply it to their life. You know, and not to, you know, dominate the conversation, but, you know, just this last thought, that is the reason why when you see the transition between Moses and to Joshua, the first thing that God tells him is be strong and courageous.
Okay.
Why? Because not only did Joshua have the relationship with Moses, why? Because he was his apprentice, but he also already had a personal relationship with God. So he was not only taking the revelation from the generation before him, he was taking it from his own personal encounter. So not only did he have authority in heaven and in the past generation, he also had authority in his generation. Mm. So it's like when you make a point to be disciplined, it gains you authority in realms that you never had access to on your own. So when you discipline and lead yourself, it gives you the ability to lead others.
Hmm. That's good. That's good. Do you think, Dr. R.C. Shields, that problem solving has a lot to do with leadership?
Problem solving has a lot to do with leadership. But when we problem solve, for me, one of the things I add to team, I believe in team leadership, you know, because if you get a, because you don't know it all. As a leader, you don't know it all, see? So a lot of leaders are afraid, like Pastor Shields said, Pastor Chris said, a lot of leaders are afraid to let go of that position and have a relationship. See, a true leader empowers everybody around him to lead. Right. So if something happened to me, they could still, the mission can still be accomplished.
Correct.
So that's team leadership. You see, and everybody in that team is secured in their strengths and their weaknesses because we make up each other's strengths. So then success only comes when the team is successful.
Right.
So that's how problem solving get dealt with, is because it has a team concept. It's not built on one, on I, it's built on us, it's built on team. You know, if you look at basketball, you look at sports, you look out throughout the Bible, successful people, look, they have, I mean, when you look at the book of Acts, I love the book of Acts because they had all things in common. See, what the church lacks today is a lot of people afraid because they all caught up in their position, not securing their calling. They can't lead because, oh man, they might outshine me. They may outdo me.
Right.
But a genuine leader, right, solve problems through team ministry, not individual ministry. Because you look in Acts, they had all things in common. None of the apostles was trying to, I'm the greatest apostle, I'm the best apostle, I'm this, I'm that. They work together to solve the problem. Even when the widow ladies in Acts, they didn't think they was getting treated right. What did they do? The apostles say, we're gonna give ourselves to the word, prayer, and doctrine, right? And then they raised up men of faith, men of the word, men of integrity to serve the people. while they gave themselves over to ministry, of prayer, fasting, and the word. So that's what I'm saying. Genuine leaders are not afraid to solve problems by using other people on the team to be the answer to the problem.
Correct. I definitely agree with that. Pastor Chris, so I know that you're not married, but we're going to go into a marriage type question.
Well, can I just add to
what
Shields was saying before? You know, I think that that's a beautiful articulation of, you know, leadership. But I think that, you know, the reasons why the apostles really put an emphasis on that type of leadership was because they actually had a genuine relationship with God.
Right.
And they saw how God does leadership. And he does that. God solves problems with people. Right. So if God solves problems with people, wouldn't us as people that are supposed to be leading by his example do the same thing?
Correct.
You know, so I think that's beautiful, you know, what you are articulating right there, because, you know, that is key. If we are called to be Christians, we're called to be Christ-like, we have to lead like Christ does. Christ is not insecure. He's not worried about his thing. He's worried about our thing. Why? Because we're co-laborers, we're co-partners, we're doing this together to build one kingdom, not a bunch of individual kingdoms. Because right. At the end of the day, the only kingdom that there's going to be is the kingdom of God. Right. And the kingdom of God is the kingdom of love. Love does not compete. Love is not insecure. Love is not worried about the other person in the sense of like, what if they outshine me? No, it's like, hey, let's make this light shine together.
Right.
Because there's really only one true light, and that true light is God.
Right. I agree. I definitely agree with that. I was listening to a...
So that's the kingdom mindset.
Right.
So that's kingdom leadership.
Yeah.
But everybody don't lead with kingdom leadership.
No.
You see, unless you had a revelation of what Jesus said in Matthew 4:23, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, right? So the kingdom of God is not someday. The kingdom of God is at hand now,
yep.
Right? So when you actually have an encounter with the king and understand your kingdom assignment, you don't have no fear of anybody else.
No.
Now we're building the kingdom. It's not about us. It's about building the kingdom so I can lay something at the king's feet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We all going in presenting this to the king. And that's what that's the difference between kingdom mentality and religious mentality. And we have a lot of people in religion never understand in a relationship with the king. So they don't understand territorial leadership.
Right.
And territorial leadership is like, okay, this is the territory that God have assigned me, but we're going to help each other fulfill our kingdom assignment.
Right.
Imagine if your eye tried to tell your ear what to do. That'd be out of line.
Right.
You know, and before we move on,
no,
you know, what you're saying again, you know, when Paul was checking Paul did not do it in an area that wasn't his territory.
Right.
He waited until they got out of Antioch and they got into his realm of authority. And then he said, hey, Peter, so you remember back there when you were being racist?
Right.
Whoa, racism in the apostleship?
Right.
Or when you were being wrong and doing it, you thought you were better than those people? Yeah, that doesn't work in this territory. Why? Mm. Because their authority does not land in this territory.
Right.
And that's if we would not stop trying to be eyes, telling the ears what to do, and stop being ears trying to tell the eyes what to do, that's leadership too. It's knowing your realm of influence, your boundaries, what you're called to and what you're not called to. And when you realize that everyone is significant, we all have been fearfully and wonderfully made, we empower each other, not try and hold each other back.
Yeah. And see, that's where, in true leadership, right? Kingdom leadership has no racism.
No.
So, I mean, and this is a topic that a lot of people don't want to address, but racism shouldn't be in the body of Christ. If we all a child of the king, right? True leaders, right? Then it shouldn't be no white church, black church, Hispanic church, all these different churches, because when you get to heaven, it's going the kingdom, because he said, as we seated in heavenly, right, places, Ephesians 2:6, we seated with him together in Christ, right? Then if you seated in heaven, you don't see racism. Right. You see redeemed.
Right.
And my question is, what color is God?
You see?
I'll let that die. Yeah, you know what I mean? What color is God?
So until we address the real issue of true, genuine leadership, you have to be, your leadership got to be a reflection of your creator. Man. And if God is your creator, and you, what you're doing don't reflect your creator, then you got to ask yourself,
are you following the leader?
Because that's the true leader.
Yeah.
You know, you invited me on, you know, now you had, you're like, I was like, but this is how it is.
Yeah.
Because I don't see a lot of true leaders because they can't fellowship with somebody outside of who they really are, the way that the color of their skin. But in John 4:24, it says God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Right? So when we worship God, if we can't worship God in spirit and truth, I can't worship with you because of the color of your skin, then I'm not worshiping the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm worshiping the God of religion.
Yes. Right. And if we're also truly following the leaders, and we are what he called us to be, ambassadors of Christ,
right,
that means that we are only qualified and have authority and access to say what the true leader, the one that we have been sent by, yeah, says.
Right.
And the last thing I would want to just throw in there, you know, we have to remember Psalms 133, verse 1. It says how good and pleasant it is for brethren, not just one sect or one segment, brethren to dwell together in unity. And it also says, not in Psalms 133, verse 1, but in Revelations, it says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord.
Right.
So you can act, it didn't say sections or segments, it said that everyone. So you can get in the program with everyone now, or you can wait until later. But I'm not so sure what side you will be on by then if you wait that long. Because he will separate the goats and the sheep. The goats are the ones that are flowing in his leadership, and the sheep are, I mean, the goats are the ones, excuse me, let me make sure that I say this right. The goats are the ones that are not flowing in his leadership, and the sheep are ones that are following in his leadership. Why? Because it says, my sheep know my voice, right, and they come running from me. Not goats, sheep. Goats cause confusion. Sheep move in unity.
Okay. So when we talk about that, I was listening to somebody today that actually owns a tax business, and he was talking about how, he was talking about his wife, and he was talking about, when I die, I want to make sure, and I'm going to marry somebody, and the reason I married her is because I know that if I die today, she can still live on with my legacy. She can still handle things. So, with that being said, what do you feel the role of, like, if you were going to get married, obviously, when you're looking for a woman, what things are you looking for? Are you, when you're looking for a woman that's going to lead your household?
Well, I mean, the first key, I think, in finding, you know, your wife, is you got to find yourself.
Right.
And I think that that's an area that, you know, oftentimes when it comes to society, we miss out on. Because if I would have known that when I was younger, I wouldn't have hurt a lot of people.
Right.
And I wouldn't have been hurt by a lot of people. Because if you don't know who you are, then you don't know whose you are. And that means that you don't know whose is yours.
Mm.
You know, and it's like, if you don't know whose is yours, then that means that you're just trying to try on every shoe when you realize that not every shoe is going to fit, and not every shoe that looks good is good. You know, so it's like, you have to, number one, know who you are.
Right.
And when you know who you are, and you know whose you are, you know what you're called to.
Right.
And you know who is yours. So right. When you first find out who you're called to, or who you are, whose you are, what you're called to, then who is yours will come along with the call.
Right.
You know what I mean? And oftentimes we're not going to our call. We go for who is mine.
Mm.
Why? Because we don't want to be honest about the attraction of why we want to go to who is mine. Because we're dealing with issues rather than dealing it with the one that, again, sent us here, yeah, to be an answer to a problem. We want to go and find the answer to our lust. So rather than us being focused on the reason why we were sent to be an answer to the problem, a bigger cause than just called to us, a bigger, we were called to be an answer to a problem for the world, not just for us, not to just get a name and be famous. So we go find what we desire. Mm. Man, I really just want to have sex. Or I'm really lonely and I want to find someone so I don't have to be alone. Yeah, but yeah, God didn't send us here for that. Yes, he did say be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion over the earth and subdue the earth. He did say that. But guess what? Adam got those tasks before Eve ever came.
Mm.
She did not come until he actually started doing and being who God called him to be.
Right.
See, and the funny thing about that, too, is the fact of him doing and being looked a lot like rest. It did not look like performance. See, and oftentimes we go to perform when God has not called us to perform. Even us finding our calling is not a performance. Why? Because if it's really what you're called to, it's a natural flow. That's why comparison is so terrible. And if you really break down that word, I love how Pastor Adam McCain, you know, articulates this. Comparison. You're trying to be like somebody else when God did not. That's why it's such a task-oriented thing for you, because it's not what you're called to. Right. When it's something you're called to, it's a natural flow of who you are. It's like, so I can't be like, well, Mariah is a great dancer, so I want to be like Mariah and I want to dance like. No, that's not what I'm called to. So when you know whose you are, you know who you are, you know the call, right? Mm-hmm. And when you know the call, you know who is yours. Why? Because who is yours will come after you find the call. Why? Because you're resting and she comes. And why you rest, why? Because she's going to be birthed out of you. See, because you also, this is very, 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 very key. You have to realize, as a male, you are the glory of God.
Right.
Right? You are God's glory, right? And that wife of yours is your glory.
Right.
See, but if you're so prideful and you're caught up in yourself and you don't know who you are, guess what? Now you made darkness, not light. But God never called us to make darkness. He said everything he made was good. Why? Because it was made out of his image and his likeness. It was out of his glory. So when you know who you are, you're tapped into his glory. And because you're tapped into his glory, that means that His glory will reflect from you, and then therefore it would attract the same glory that manifested out of you, him originally, into you, and it's going to draw her near to you. And now you're going to, wow, that's a perfect image of Christ. Now we are Yahweh together. Ish and Isha. Ish is a male. Isha is Hebrew for female. They come together and make Yahweh. And you have to realize you're not here to make you. You're here to reflect the perfect image of Christ on the earth. And that's why Satan is such after the attack of marriage. And that's why people are so busy trying to find a thing rather than finding him. Mm. When you find him, he will draw all things to you, because that's a good, good father. And he's a good, good father.
Right.
So hopefully that answered your question.
That was very in depth. So coming to you, you're married. So what were you looking for? You can even talk on a set when you were secular until obviously you met God. What were you looking for in a wife? And what, like, were you looking for a leadership in that wife so that she could obviously, like I said, handle your household?
So one of the things that that was eloquent. I want to give a shout out to Pastor Chris. That was eloquent. I started to go and give you an offering on that. But let me tell you, one of the greatest things I realized, I say, when I first got married, when I first met my wife, it didn't matter where we was. I'll tell you where we was, just to be transparent. So we met at a NTC, which it was a naval base, but it was a club.
Up in the club, hanging out.
But I already knew that I had a call on my life, right? And so one of the things that I realized that even in that, I was always trying to point, even in the clubs, when I was in the club, I always was trying to point people to Jesus because it was in my DNA.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I was in the club and I was dancing, but I knew I was going back to my first love. So when I met your mom, that was my last time in the club. So I knew that, to me, that was my bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Mm. See? I was struggling with identity when I was in the club. I knew I was called, but I was still struggling with identity.
Right.
The fullness of my call. So I would go in and out. You see what I mean?
Double dip.
Go in and out, until I was on the crossroad. And once I was on the crossroad, I had to make a choice. You know what I mean? And when I made the choice was to just go with God. So when I met your mom, it was, I knew that she had everything that I needed in a wife. I knew she could, and it wasn't just because I said, okay, I'm called, she's anointed, she flows in the prophetic gifts. So all the gifts that God had given me, I was like, man, we can advance the kingdom of God together.
Right.
Now, this is truly bone of my bones. Now over the years, it's been over almost 30 years. Over the years, the struggle was me trying to force her to walk in her calling. When I didn't call her, God called her.
Correct.
So what I had to learn how to do is let God be God and me focus on what God called me to do.
Right.
That makes sense? And that began to help her grow in her calling. When I left her alone, that's the Holy Spirit job. That wasn't my job to help her. My job was to just encourage her, see? Encourage her and let God do the rest.
Right.
So a lot of times when we get married, a lot of times we try to interfere and help the Holy Spirit out when it's the Holy Spirit already know their calling. When you begin to focus on your calling, then the Holy Spirit say, okay, now I can move.
Right.
That makes sense? And so true leader, you know, in a marriage, what I loved about Adam, you know, Adam met Eve and he said, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, but he was working. He was already answered the call, already walking in his call. He didn't go look for Eve. God told him that he was, hey, you lonely. I can't find a mate for him. So God said, hey, wait a minute. And see, if men would really focus on their calling, their destiny, their purpose, knowing where they're going, their vision, walking out and have a true, genuine, Christ-like relationship. I'm not talking about a religious relationship. Adam had a relationship. God walked with him in the cool of the day.
Exactly.
So he had a genuine, authentic relationship with God. And a true man has, a real man is Christ-like. He have a genuine relationship with his creator.
Right.
And so out of his relationship with his creator, bring forth life with a relationship with his wife. Like Pastor Chris said, he birthed her because she was already on his, inside of him. But God said, wait a minute. He named every animal. And God said, wait a minute. Adam don't even have a helper. Help me. So what did he do? He put him in a deep sleep. God never touched the ground again. To make Eve, he just pulled Eve out of what he already knew that was inside a man. So a true man is worshiping a living God. God began to pull out his wife already that was inside of him. So why are we going to look for somebody when she already on the inside of us?
Very true.
When we have a true, genuine relationship with God, God will pull her out of you. And he'll say, and then you'll say, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. We're going to look for a rib and a you don't need to look for it. It's already there. You focus on, and the Bible said, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things to be added unto you. That's why a lot of people get divorced in the church because they never really worship a true and living God where God pull out Eve out of him. Because then he'll say, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and they got a kingdom mentality.
Right.
And they're advancing the kingdom of God together. You got the apostle and the prophet in the house operating together to build the kingdom of God. Now you got government.
Yeah.
See, you'll never have true government in the house unless the apostle and prophet come together, focus on their relationship in Christ.
Right.
Because we all sent, but everybody don't answer the call.
Mm-hmm.
Many are called, but a few are chosen.
That sounds like the military thing, Dad.
A few good men.
So, Pastor Chris, do you feel as a leader you should always have a mission? There should always be a goal, an ending result of the leadership.
The only thing that, I mean, the only thing that gives you ability to be a leader is a mission.
Mm.
Nobody that's in leadership is not there for a reason.
Right.
But the thing is that it's... Your mission continues to grow. And how does your mission continue to grow? Your mission continues to grow because you get vision.
Mm.
See, but the problem that, you know, a lot of leaders mess up on is they lose vision and they lose inspiration and they lose creativity because they forget to be tapped into the source.
Mm-hmm.
And being tapped into the source looks like always having a relationship with God. Your everyday decisions and your everyday startup has to be, okay, God, what are we doing today?
Okay.
You know, like just this morning, like I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning on the fourth day of April at four on the, you know, on the fourth month. Think about it. 4, 4, 4. And I can sit here and, you know, on 2020, and there's like so much symbolism in that. But at the same time, in the reality, regardless of the symbolism, it's the acts at, it's the, you know, the expectation of knowing that this was not me accidentally waking up at this time.
Right.
Me as a leader in whatever realm or sphere that God is calling me to, there's a reality of I have a responsibility to make sure that I'm hearing the one that sent me.
Right.
That I know what to say or what to do in this season. Okay, God, why are you revealing this to me at this time? What's going on? Okay, I don't need all the answers right now, but me as a leader, now I still have inspiration, I still have creativity, and I still have vision. So what do? It's my responsibility to take the information at that time, at that hour, and to document it and allow the Holy Spirit to have access to remind me whenever he calls to remind me of, hey, remember when I woke you up at 4 a.m. on the fourth day of April in the fourth month of the year, 2020? You see what I'm saying? So it's always knowing that my first responsibility is knowing that the one that sent me is the one that gave me the mission.
Right.
And because he gives me the mission, or the mission, he always has a vision for me. And it is my responsibility to know the vision, know the mission, and apply it by being able to articulate it to others when it's time to articulate it to others.
I like that. So, what about you? Do you think that being a leader, you always want to have a mission, a goal, and ending result? Or do you just...
I think a leader has to live intentional. You know what I mean? You got to be intentional with everything. Intentional. When I first get up, my first impression is to go to the one that, like Pastor Chris said, the one that sent me. I got to get a download. So that means like this morning, the last few weeks, God's been waking me up at 2 in the morning. First week, I didn't get up at 2. I laid there and prayed in the bed. But this last week, I've been getting up at 2. Okay, God, you got my attention. What are we doing? You see? And as a leader, your life is no more your life.
Right.
See what I mean? Yeah. And I love Galatians, you know, because I said that in Galatians chapter 2 and 20, it said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's not I who live. But it's Christ who live in me, and the life that I now live by flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Right.
So before I can even get up in the morning, it's not my life. I got to understand, I got to go see love, because how am I going to ever love anybody if love don't pour love back into me?
Correct.
How am I going to be able to pour into anybody if love don't pour into me? So that means I got to get up and go to him first and let him download so I can become what he want me to become. I'm already there, but I always say right perspective. You got to get the right perspective. So only way I can get the right perspective is go to the one that has the right perspective.
Right.
Only way I can get the right belief is to go to one that give me the belief. Does that make sense? So to be a true leader, I can't lead anybody if I don't go to the authentic, the genuine leader.
Right.
So every morning I get up, I got to go to him. And I know God is getting ready to do something. He's been waking me up for the last 2 weeks at 2. I know every time you wake me up, that's a shift going on in the spirit.
Right.
So I'm getting up and just seeking God, writing what he give me to lead others, to serve others.
Right.
You know, and advance the kingdom of God. Expansion is everything, you know. And like Pastor Chris said, you know, you never run dry, man. If you all about the kingdom, right, in this kingdom, and everything God does, a lot of people say, I don't want it to grow, but God is a God of multiplication. He a God of increase, a God of expansion. If you totally tap into the king, you can't stay small forever. You can't stay in that position forever. He's going to change. You're going to always be metamorphosed.
Okay. Well, while we're wrapping up, my last question for you, Pastor Chris, is who are your favorite leaders to watch?
favorite leaders to watch. I mean, I am very thankful for all the leaders that I have, you know, around me. I have a lot of amazing men around me that pour into me. So, you know, one of my all-time favorites is Dr. James Garlow. He's poured so much into me over the years. Known him since I was 6. He's been amazing, has, you know, helped cultivate me into who I am. Paul Lewis Cole is another amazing leader. Walt Landers is another amazing leader. I'm just honored to be around all them. And I mean, the list could go on of people. I mean, even Dr. R.C. Shields Sr., you know, who I have the pleasure of being on this podcast with, he's a phenomenal leader. And it's funny, you know, because they all have different characteristics and they all bring something different to the table. Like, for example, like, I don't know anyone that can out history, or that is probably not even a word, but who can outdo Pastor Garlow when it comes to history. That man is like a walking encyclopedia when it comes to history. Right. You know, and I could sit here and name all characteristics of all those men that I just, you know, named and what they bring to the table and their specialty. But I think, you know, it comes down to the fact of, again, these men have decided to first lead themselves.
Right.
And because they have done such a great job of leading themselves, they have gained the access and authority to lead others.
Right.
And I think that that is key. And I think that even if those all four of those men were on this podcast right now, that's one thing that they would even share with you. You know, it's like, hey, it was the times when you weren't seeing me lead myself. Right. That allowed me to have the authority to lead others. Definitely. So I think, you know, for anybody that's, you know, trying to figure out, man, why am I not getting new levels of authority or new levels of leadership? I think the biggest key is ask yourself, am I doing the best job of leading myself? Mm. Am I disciplining myself? You know, because at the end of the day, another thing that you have to remember, one of the greatest things that I learned from my time of playing basketball or, you know, making music or, you know, just doing, you know, the wonderful things that God has allowed me the ability to do that I'm still blown away by sometimes. One of the things that I, you know, do remember is what allowed me the authority to win game, to make game winning shots was the times where nobody was in the gym with me and I was pretending, saying, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And right before one happens, I'm just throwing the ball up and I'm in the gym by myself and I make it or I missed it. I don't know how many times I missed it, but right. I just know then what it translated to when I played in the game.
Right.
That I was able to have the confidence and the authority to make that shot.
Right.
That's leadership. Do you have the, don't tell me you want to be a phenomenal preacher or communicator or public speaker. If, and I used to tell always my guys that, you know, I helped, you know, raise up in this, like, hey, if you can't preach to the two, you can't preach to the one, or you can't preach to yourself, you don't need to preach it to anyone. That's leadership. If you can't preach it to yourself and you can't give yourself an amen, you don't need to tell nobody, ask anybody else to give you an amen. Like, come on now. It starts with you. And we need to make sure, especially in this next generation of leaders that we're raising up and investing into, we need them to know that it's not just some fabrication that while I'm on camera, I can lead. And then off camera, I can't. I can slack. No, it is putting in work. It's working hard. It's waking up when you don't want to wake up because you have someone that you lead that is randomly calling you and needs prayer or needs just somebody to listen to them. Right. It is those aspects and those responsibility that you are committing to as saying, hey, I want to be a leadership. And it has a lot of less to do with you focusing on you.
Right.
But it's always about focusing on others. I'm up right now because I want my kids to be great. I'm up right now because I want my great-great-grandchildren to be great.
Right.
And I want to have the ability and the authority and the discipline already applied in my life. So when they see it, they're like, I want to be just like grandpa. I want to be just like dad. That's what it takes.
That's true. I like that. What about you? Who are your some leaders you look up to?
So, So all my life, I mean, from day one, God has always put great men in my life. From five, when my grandfather passed, all the way until now, you know, from Pastor John Holler to Pastor Walt Landers to Dr. Miles Monroe, Apostle Ivy Hillard. So I always had great men of God in my life. Because I believe until you submit to authority, you'll never have authority. And I think, you know, one of the greatest things that, you know, I was always wondering, God, why are you always bringing people in my life? Because I learned at a young age that I had to submit to authority. Genuine, a true leader always have somebody that's over them. They never do life alone, right. You know? So I just I could keep on going, you know, it's Dr. Ed Cole, you know, I got to read a lot of his books, and he's been, you know, just reading his books, he felt like he a mentor, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I was like, apostle, and then I just beginning to, Malolando, great man of God, you know, out of Miami, you know, so I'm just saying, I always had great men of God in my life. But I realized one thing, you know, the greatest one is hanging out with Jesus. The greatest leader that I could ever hang out with was Jesus. And if I ever want to be like anybody, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, when I close these eyes, I did all I could do to be just like him. I ain't had nothing else to give. You know, thank God for the men of God that have been in my life, you know. But like Pastor Chris said, it's not what you do in public. It's your private life. What right. If you're going to lead publicly, you got to lead privately in those quiet times when you, like you said, 4 in the morning when you don't want to get up, 4 a.m. you don't want to get up and God want to talk, or 2 in the morning, God want to talk. It's not your life anymore. Genuine leader know he don't live for himself anymore.
Right.
Those days are over. He lost his life that he may gain life.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I had a lot of greater men of God to influence me. And just to see my, you know, for me as a dad, just to see my kids leading, you know what I mean? It's an honor to see how, you know, they touching nations.
Right.
You know, so I mean, that's an honor for me, you know.
Okay.
And I think Kobe, that was another, you know, leader that I didn't mention, but, you know, the interactions, you know, that I had with him, right. The conversations that I got the honor of having with him, you know, were phenomenal. And the fact that he was always the first one at the gym and the last one to leave the gym.
Yep.
And just the impact that his leadership, you know, of his discipline privately, what it did publicly, and just the history, like the NBA, you know, the people and how he had his hand. You talk about a kingdom-minded person, Kobe Bryant, for sure. And the funny thing is people didn't even... The thing that I think is so beautiful about him specifically is he mastered the art of not being obnoxious about his faith, but being honest about it.
Right.
You know, and it's like he didn't shove Jesus down your throat, but you can look at the characteristics of his life and see that he had his hand just like Jesus had his hand in everything.
Right.
Think about it. Almost the whole earth shut down the day that he died. Kobe Bryant.
Right.
And I'm not trying to compare him to Jesus, but I'm just saying, like, that's what we're trying to be. That's what we're called to be, Christ-like individuals. Okay. When you die and leave this earth, is it going to shake the world? Or are people just going to say, okay, we have another funeral to go to? Okay. Or are you going to close down the world and people say, wow, that man impacted the world so much that, man, we have to mourn.
And what I love about that is you said kingdom. In the kingdom is no nationality. So he touched every nationality.
Exactly.
So he, and I say, when you really think about it, you know, the Greek, he said, make disciples.
Of all nations.
Yeah. And they say, in the kingdom of God, he said, kingdom will come.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know what I mean? Everybody want to leave the earth, ready to leave the earth. But until we get this gospel of the kingdom to all nations, we'll never leave the earth. So that's why I say one of the greatest things I love about that is I never thought about it is he touched every nationality. He didn't care what race, what color. He wasn't colored or anything. He touched every nationality. Mm-hmm. And when we as leaders, and I don't care, you know, I'm just going to be honest. We as leaders stop being prejudiced and touch every nationality. We ain't going nowhere, you know, and stop using excuses that, oh, I got black friends. We don't care if you got black friends. That don't mean you have a relationship with them just because you know of them.
Yeah.
Relationship don't, it's deeper than that. And we don't even allow them to come and be a part of what we're doing. We can't say that, oh man, we're going to go to heaven. We got to really look at it, that relationship. Do we really love the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because we all made in the image of God. And he say, and then one of the things, and I've got to close because I know we've been on here for a long time. The Bible say, know no man after the flesh, but after the spirit. We got to know the spirit of the man, not the color of his skin. If we want to see, I mean, and we're in the COVID virus thing, everybody getting caught up in that. But what we tolerate as the church, the world will tolerate. So we as the church tolerate hatred and prejudice. That's why the world is in the shape that it's in. But when we begin to lead by example and lay aside the weight that easily beset us, race, color, all that stuff, and just love each other with the same love of God, because God is love, then life will change. The world will change. They'll be more receptive to the church. And we can lead them to the kingdom of God, not to your church, but to the kingdom of God. We need kingdom leaders.
But we also got to know the fullness of the Great Commission. And if we look at Mark 16, 19 through 20, it says, yes, go make disciples. But I love what you pointed out when it, you know, emphasizing on the spirit, because the last thing it says is, and I will be with you.
Even to the what? To the end.
To the end. So that means that if we're really in the heart of God and we're about his business, again, we're doing what the leader tells us to do.
Correct.
We're walking with the leader and we're a reflection of the leader. If we're not doing those three things, we're not about the Great Commission and we're not following the instructions of the one that sent us. So that means that we're not truly leading. If we're going to be truly true leaders, we have to make this about heart leadership, correct, not me leadership.
Right.
It's very deep.
So a man thinking in his heart, so is he. You know.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm just being real. And just because you got a sprinkle of different ones, that don't mean that you leading like it is in heaven. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I say, I love the day when we can fellowship together as it is in heaven. But we can have heaven on earth if we all just begin to fellowship together.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. Thank you, Pastor Chris, for coming through. I appreciate you. Is there anything coming new? Like, you dropping anything? You doing anything fascinating? Anything you want to shout out?
First off, my pleasure. You know, thank you for the opportunity of being on here. Don't take it lightly. You know, there's always stuff in the works. You know, just keep an eye out. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but we're always working.
No spoiler alerts.
Oh. We're always working. You know, we do take days off. We do rest. Well, let me rephrase that. We don't take days off, but we are always resting. But at the same fact that we have a lot of things that we are doing. Okay. You know, there's a lot of things that God has blessed me with, having the ability of having influence in. Okay. So just keep an eye out. You know, follow me on Chris_Shields at Instagram to keep up with it, or Christopher Shields on Facebook. And, you know, when stuff drops, you'll see it. Because, you know, we do have some things in the work, but I don't want to give any spoilers. Just keep your eye out, because we are always working. And like, you know, Dr. R.C. Shields Sr. said, you know, I'm honored to be able to have, you know, connections and influence in nations. So we're always doing something.
We're always,
you know,
working.
But I can't wait for this, you know, coronavirus to break, because then we get to back to traveling, because I am not liking not being able to travel. So, yeah, just keep, you know, like I said, follow me at Chris_Shields on Instagram and Christopher Shields on Facebook. And, you know, love to, you know, be in relationship with you, in contact with you. But yeah, just keep an eye out there. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but we got some really cool things in the work. As you know, Chris Shields Ministries, but also just with all the things that God has blessed me to be able to be, you know, connected to. So okay. Keep a lookout for that.
All right. What about you, Dr. R.C. Shields? Oh. Anything dropping? Do you do anything online? Do you do anything that you want to let them know about that they can be a part of?
Hey, you look me up, R.C. Shields, on Facebook. I love the season that I'm in. God is doing great things. I'm just waiting for the coronavirus to leave. Cause I know God, we'll get busy again and preach and teach and just watch the kingdom of God advance. I don't have too much going on right now. I just want to, just like I said, I love the season that I'm in. It's like the wilderness, and I love that because I can spend time with God and don't have to pour, you know, have to be. But now it's, I know my season is almost up. And just follow me on Facebook. You'll see me in every tribe, every tongue, and every nation, expanding the kingdom of God and every city, you know, demonstrating, not just teaching, but demonstrating the kingdom. And thank you. It's an honor to be a part of this. Thank you. I don't take it lightly. It was ordained by God. We appreciate you.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you can follow me at Speak Up, Speak Out Nation 1, as well as my personal account is on there as well. Thank you so much, like I said, for coming through, giving them a little bit of on what leadership is, real leadership is. And so this is Speak Up, Speak Out. And y'all know what we say, or do I need to teach y'all? You don't know.
You gotta teach me.
Okay, so basically I say this is Speak Up, Speak Out, and we Okay. So this is Speak Up and Speak Out, and we're
out. You're doing good.